1, Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Colossians 1, 24 through 29. Found on page 1677. Colossians 1, 24 through 29. This is God's word to us. Now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to keep your Bibles open. We'll be looking at different places in God's word, but specifically around Colossians 1, the end of the chapter there, and Colossians 2. Beloved in Christ, we sing it, right? We sing it. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Thanks, you picked up that you were supposed to sing that line. That's good. If you're like me, that song, theme song of our mission outreach week, makes me feel pretty good. Not only because we know the song and sing it well, not only that reason, but rather because it's really cool that Rend Collective, who wrote the song, taking their cue from God's word, seemingly considers the church and this congregation is one part of the church, that the church is the hope of the world. As a pastor of a congregation, that makes me feel pretty good. On the other hand, there's this, of course. Church people, the church, has a bit of a reputation for challenging the limits of good sense. Would you agree? Tom Rainer, president of Lifeway Publishing of the Southern Baptist denomination, did a Twitter poll a number of years ago asking pastors to share their best stories of things church people fight over. He posted his favorites. They included heated discussions over the appropriate length of the pastor's beard or whether or not he could wear gym shoes at the pulpit. I'm all set today, okay. Other arguments stem from members who left their churches because one church member hid the vacuum cleaner from them. And there was an argument over the type of filing cabinet to purchase, and another over the type of green beans that the church should serve. Two different churches reported fights over types of coffee. In one church, they moved from Folgers to a stronger Starbucks brand, and in another, they simply moved to a stronger blend. In both cases, people left the church over it. And then there was a disagreement over using the term potluck instead of pot providence or pot blessing, and even whether the church could allow deviled eggs at a church meal. Now remember, friends, this was a poll of the Southern Baptist churches. Christian Reformed people would never quibble about these sorts of things. Sure. Still, all petty, trivial, niggling quarrels aside, the church still is the hope of the world. It really is. More than any other organization, by a long shot, the church and only the church is the hope of the world. Why can I say that? Because of the connection of Christ to the church. God says in his word, Ephesians 5, Revelation 19 and 21, a few examples, that the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Now that's a close connection. God tells us in his word, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, all over Ephesians and right here in Colossians 1, 24, God tells us the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Christ is the head, we are the body. That's a close connection. God tells us in his word, John 15, John 17, right here again in Colossians 1, 27, that the church, believers, are in Christ and Christ is in them. We abide in him. That's as close a connection to Christ as you can get. So we confidently say on that basis, the intimate connection the church has with Jesus Christ, the church is the hope of the world because Jesus is the hope of the world. We're united to him. So by extension, so is the church, the hope of the world. I want to give you three reasons, though, why the church is the hope of the world. Three reasons that are challenges too, all right? But before we go there, let's talk for a bit about this passage in the entire letter of Colossians. It's the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. Paul writes this letter while he's imprisoned in Rome. And Epaphras, the likely church planter who planted the church in Colossae, has visited him in Rome at prison and given him a report about this very church. All kinds of heresies, false teachings, have entered, infiltrated the church. All kinds of teachings about extra things that really have nothing to do with faith in Jesus Christ and in his work on the cross. Let me give you a rundown. Ceremonialism. Certain people are demanding strict rules and regulations to be put into place about what church people can eat and what they can drink. What was permissible, what was not. I wonder what type of green beans and coffee were allowed there. Asceticism. All kinds of rules meant to deprive the human body and even misuse it. It involved a false humility. I'm humbly beating up my body to show I'm worthy of God, and that makes me a better person than you. Humility and pride in the same action. These were all self-imposed by the false teachers. Do it my way or you're not doing it the right way. Worship of angels. The early form of Gnosticism there included worshiping things other than God, than Jesus Christ, devaluing then the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, that one's obvious when all these other things are being taught. It's why Paul wrote the incredible section right before where we read called the supremacy of the Son of God. Look at that in your Bibles there. The false teachers were minimizing how important Christ was for them. So Paul wrote that big section. This is Christ. Secret knowledge. The teachers claimed to have extra and secret knowledge that they and only their followers could find out about, a secret society, and with that, a reliance on human wisdom and human tradition. That's what this letter's about. It's written by Paul to refute those things that he has heard are happening back in Colossae. You've got to stop this. Stop those teachers from focusing on these things. They're just wrong. Paul wrote this letter to defend the sheer adequacy and supremacy of Jesus Christ and to show that the philosophies that the false teachers were bringing into the church didn't hold water. They were empty and worthless. All those false things the false teachers were bringing to the church were meant to, I'm sure, give people hope. But it didn't give the people hope at all because only Jesus gives hope. So now let's get into it a bit, just with that little background. I said there are three reasons for the church being the hope of the world. There are also three challenges. The church, because it's connected to Christ, is the hope of the world because the church offers the world the hope of good news, the hope of the gospel, the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. In our passage, Paul specifically writes, verse 25, I have become its servant. What's its? What's that possession there? Well, that's the church. I have become the church's servant. How? When did that happen? Verse 25, I have become the church's servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. So Paul was given that commission by God when that light on the way to Damascus shone on him and he was converted. He's given that commission. Paul in prison now, though, persecuted, thrown in prison because he what he has been commissioned to do, plant churches and tell the gospel, and that is present the word of God in its fullness. And you know what that is, right? That's the hope of good news. Commissioned by God to present the word of God in its fullness, the good news of God, the gospel. Paul has been commissioned by God to tell out the good news about Jesus because there is hope in that good news. It's all about Jesus. So he just got through where we read, writing about the supremacy of Jesus. As I've mentioned, I've drawn your attention to that before. Now we're going to do it again. The Son of God, listen to what we hear about. Image of the invisible God. Son of God. Firstborn over all creation. All things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible through him. The most powerful thing you can think of. The highest ruler, the greatest authority on this earth. It's only there because the Son of God created it, created through him and for him. The entire world holds together, stays together, doesn't fall apart because of him. The universe doesn't just implode or explode because of Jesus. And he is head of his body, the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. Resurrection, yeah. And God the Father made all his fullness dwell in God the Son. And when he did, God the Son came, shed his blood on the cross, making peace between God and human beings. In fact, Jesus, by what he did at the cross and resurrection, Jesus presents you believers holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. You believe in that Jesus, in the supremacy of that Savior, and there is no one who can hurl an accusation of guilt at you forevermore, not even the devil himself. For Jesus reconciled you by his blood. And chapter 1, verse 23 says, you have faith established and firm. Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, in the good news. That's what the Apostle Paul has been commissioned to proclaim to all, that gospel good news. Paul is a servant of that gospel. He tells it out. He tells people about the hope of that gospel. As a church planter, as a church preacher, as a church letter writer, as a church fixer, as a member of the church, Paul offers the hope of good news, the good news of Christ crucified. The simple good news gives so much hope. We're all sinners, and we're all under the punishment of God for our sin. We can't fix that devastating problem. But the good news is, the gospel is that there is one who did. Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins, taking the punishment upon himself and declaring us innocent. He was innocent. He was. Not us. We weren't. But he took our punishment and our guilt and endured it all. And because of that good news cross, we are justified. We are declared innocent, just as if we'd never sinned nor been sinners. That's the good news. Sin paid for by Jesus. The church connected to this Savior, the church now offers that hope of good news to the world. We get to do that. We've been commissioned to do that very thing. Oh, we're not apostles like Paul, but we're believers. And we know the good news, so we offer it to others. That's reason one and challenge number one, why the church is the hope of the world. Because the church offers the hope of the good news about Jesus. We are challenged to offer that hope to others. Second, the church, because it is connected to Christ, is the hope of the world because the church offers the world the hope of glory. Glory. the hope of glory, of being with Christ one day for all eternity in glory, in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, the hope of glory. Paul had that hope. We have that hope. The church has that hope, the hope of glory, and we are challenged to tell about it. Well, where's that in the passage? Well, verse 27. Chapter 1, 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, non-Jews. That's those Colossians, non-Jews. And frankly, it's us too, non-Jews. To make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's that close connection again. Christ is in you. Christ is in those who believe in him and what he has done. He's in us. That's the hope of present glory. And that's our glorious future that has already been given to us as a promise, so it's a sure hope, but it's the glorious future hope in store for us too, prepared by God for his people. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, that is, when he comes again and appears to us, then you also will appear with him in glory. Or how about Romans 8, 18? I consider their present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Or 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what's unseen is eternal. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, God calls you into his kingdom and glory. 2 Timothy 2:10, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The church, because the church is connected so closely to Christ, and because the church knows this good news, the church can offer the hope of glory, the glory of being with Christ one day eternally. The church offers the hope of glory, and that's why the church is the hope of the world. It offers by its message the hope of glory to the world. That's reason two. And challenge number two. Why the church is the hope of the world? Because the church offers the hope of nothing less than glory because of Jesus. We offer that message of hope. We are challenged to offer that hope of glory in our words, in our conversations to others. The hope of glory. Third, the church, because it is connected to Christ, is the hope of the world, because the church offers the world the hope of growth. Growth. The hope of growth. We were on a roll, weren't we? The hope of good news, the hope of glory, the hope of growth. Really? Yes, really, because this is growth with Jesus. Think about it. Back in the church of Colossae, these false teachers were simply trying to grow into all kinds of ceremonialism, rituals, depriving their bodies, human wisdom that led nowhere. It amounted to nothing. What about today? What are people growing with and into? Something so full of meaning as binge-watching television shows, sport, growing wealth, money. None of it offers any true hope. But here's the Apostle Paul telling us that true hope is found in growth with Christ. It's growing closer to Christ. It's no wonder that's a part of our vision statement, growing closer to Jesus Christ, in abiding with Christ. That's where true hope is found. Paul's desire in verse 28 is to present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's where true hope lies, growth in him. In chapter 2, he goes on, verse 2, his goal is that they may have the riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He continues in verse 6, chapter 2. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you've been brought to fullness. That passage is all about growth. The growth that the church offers. The church offers the hope of growth. How will you grow? Connected to Christ, reading his word, studying it, praying to him, growing always closer to Christ. That's what the church offers. How about you? How about all of us? Are we growing closer to Christ? Listen, C.S. Lewis wrote this, the church exists for nothing else but to draw people into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful, you know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. You hear that, friends? That's why the church, the body of Christ, exists to make little Christs, to make little Evelyn a little Christ. But that's for all of us, and that's for us to offer to others too. Are you growing in your faith? The hope of growth is part and parcel of the church. Are you growing enough in your faith that you could offer that hope of growth to someone else? Is it time today to make a new commitment? To take one more step forward in your own growth toward offering that growth to someone else? In Mission Outreach Week, of course, we support our missionaries. Maybe today you take a step in your growth towards supporting at a higher level, a higher step than last year, as you think about how you will give financially to our missionaries over the course of the year. Maybe your growth is about upping your percentage of giving for our missionaries. Is it time to grow that way? Is it time to grow another way? To not only know that Jesus died for you and rose again from the dead for you, but to memorize the places in the Word of God that good news appears. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23a, the wages of sin is death. And Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 6:23b, the gift of God is eternal life with Christ Jesus. And Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Is it time at last to grow in your faith enough to memorize a gospel summary like that one that you heard last Sunday? You heard it on the screen. You saw the people saying it. To memorize a gospel summary from God's word so that those words can spill out of you in time of need when someone wants to have a conversation about the hope you have. Is it time to make that commitment? The church is the hope of the world. It offers good news. It offers glory. It offers growth because the church is connected to Christ. And listen, there is always room for more to grow. How will you grow this year? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would make us so aware of the hope of the world that we have because of Jesus Christ. Make us so aware of the good news message that we have certainly internalized ourselves. Make us so aware of the incredible hope of glory that is not only with us already because Christ lives in us, but also is on the way in a way that we can never even imagine. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what you have prepared, what kind of glory you have prepared. Lord, thank you for giving us that hope in our minds and hearts. And thank you, too, for giving us that gift of the hope of growth, where we grow closer to you. Maybe we've not taken that seriously enough, Lord. We grow and we consider ourselves perhaps when we become adults as, well, we're full grown now. We're mature now. Remind us that that growth never stops, that we always grow closer to you through your word and through our prayers to you, through you speaking to us. And remind us, too, that that incredible hope of growth is to be shared, that we could grow to a point where we can share that incredible hope with others. Remind us of that and help us to commit in some way to growing with you this year, perhaps in a way we haven't yet undertaken. Spirit, move among us. Fill us with the hope of growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.